weekly conversation with Maitreya. The weekly conversation with Maitreya is open to everyone. You can raise your hand and ask your questions. Please keep your questions on topic, mission of Maitreya, Eternal Divine Path. We ask everyone to go to our website and learn the teaching first, so your questions will be on topic. Be articulate and keep your questions in the spirit of learning and inquiry. Be a seeker and empty the cup of your previous knowing for the new wine of God. Keep the questions in the highest level. Ask about the teachings and be mindful that you are holding the energy at its highest. Questions will be taken and taken also, but only one at a time. Treat the room as being an outside of church and hearing a lecture. Please listen to the complete answer to your last question before typing another question. If you would like to listen to his, Maitreya's, previous lectures, satsangs, we already have them running 24 hours a day in the room Discourses by Maitreya, God's Words Continuously, Religious Group Section. Shalom and welcome to everyone.
Hello everyone, welcome to the Mission of Maitreya's conversation room. As usual, this is the Mission of Maitreya, the last revelation from God that has been prophesied to come at the end time, and now it is here for humanity to look at it, read it, test the spirit behind it, realize that God indeed in charge and exists, and the revelation is the one that has been prophesied to come, and it is now you can test it and examine it and see indeed God is in charge of the affair of human and earth, and he will bring his kingdom on earth as he promised to all his prophets and all his messengers, and he now fulfilled that last stage of the prophecy, and the whole truth is revealed to humanity. Therefore, you have come to the place that you can know the whole truth of God and what God has been doing for the last 12,000 years and why all religions of the world are correct. At the same time, they have a part of the whole truth, and when you put all of them together, you will see the whole picture. As usual, before we go any farther, we have a couple of news. The Spanish website has been translated very fast, and besides the base of our teachings and a great ton animated, now we have the 6-week meditation classes, Genealogy and Prophecies, are translated to Spanish language. That means hundreds and thousands and millions of people who can now read our teachings and our mission in a Spanish language. Probably we can have though translated also eventually in all the languages, and more people can read them in their language, but it's always recommended that people learn English and read it in their language that has been revealed. That way it's going to be much better for them. If you have done something for the mission that you would like to report it, we will announce them in this room before the conversation starts, and therefore everybody would hear what has been done in the mission, and I'm sure everybody enjoy it if they hear that. There is a revised covenant in the supplement. We encourage everybody to read the new revised covenant with the mission and see that what is changed in it. And of course, we have a brother, Brad, is not here today, but he's supposed to do a lecture, and if he came in, we'd like to hear what happened to his lecture. And if you have a project or something that you want to know if it's good one that we can support you, let us know and we will let you know how it can be done or we can help you or not. After this brief news, let us go back to the topic of the room. This is a conversation of the mission of Maitreya. And the URL or address for the website, always at the top of the banner in the room. You can click on it, www.maitreya.org, and see the greatest sign, the base of the teachings, how all the religions have part of a greater truth, what the Old Testament was saying, what the New Testament, what was the teachings of mystical path, like Hinduism and Buddhism, where they came from, how they came to be a mystical path, the oldest religions on earth, why God chose Abraham, and he promised his children that they will have dominion over a territory on earth, and how Christ was prophesied to come, and he came and brought the teaching of Christianity and Christ, and why Muslim or Islam and Prophet Muhammad came. Was he prophesied to come? Was he foretold that he will come and bring a new teachings? Why at the last moment in the Garden of Gethsemane, Christ said, "Your will be done, not mine," and that was his message for the next revelation as Islam, surrendering and submission, and how Bob came and brought the revelation of the universalism, and why we needed Baha'u'llah to come and carry the energy of Bob to the West. It was necessary and needed to bring that revelation to us, otherwise we would not have known about them. And why the elects are those who are called Paravipras, the ones who have gone through the eternal divine path. They meditate, they awaken their spiritual forces, they direct that energy toward the creation of communities of light, they sacrifice for it, and they surrender and submit the will of God for them, and they expand their mind to become a universalist and realize that they belong to the universe. They do not belong to any narrow idea of human-made that bound them not to see the universe as their home and God as their father and mother and the rest of the universe as their brothers and sisters and struggling beings to go back to God. They become an elect. They become the Paravipras. Para means beyond, Vipra means intellect. They go beyond intellect. They do not explain God, they experience God. They meditate. Therefore, eventually, one day, they experience the Spirit of God in them and they realize God truly exists. They do not. And then they have the great grip of the truth, and then they do not need religion. They seek the truth, and being truthful is one of the greatest achievements humanity can acquire. Most of the religions, most of the people who are following different dogmas go through these five steps. Awaken of spiritual forces, coming of light, sacrifice, and surrendering submission and becoming universalist, and all of them, of course, represents one or more major religions on the earth. Advaita of Restored Forces is the mystical path. Hinduism, Buddhism, Kabbalah, Saints in Christianity, Sufis, and any other teaching on earth that says, know thyself to know God. You have to have a direct experience with God first. Then, you don't have to listen to the preacher. You don't have to listen to any specific person, but you then realize that God has been prophesied for all these religions to come, and how now all of them has been unified as God promised it will, at the end time, the vision of the end time is being kept a secret to all the prophets what is going to happen. Now, of course, we know when the seventh angel comes, when the book sealed with the seventh seal is opened, the whole truth will be revealed to humanity. And it has. And when we can create humans that they are truthful to themselves, they are truthful in their seeking the truth, then they will investigate the truth, and they are not attached to one religion or one understanding. We can see many people come to our rooms, many people, our people reach to them and explain to them how this is the fulfillment of the prophecies, and what they have is a part of a greater truth, and they resist it, and they do not want to see this clearly, and therefore they cannot see the whole vision. Therefore we can conclude all other religion and the people who are not following this truth are really living a lie. And they keep that going in their life, and that is why their society, their people, their organization, everything is based on that belief, which is not the ultimate, which is not from God. Whatever is not ultimate, it is not the whole truth. Whatever is not the whole truth is not right, and it is tilted towards being a lie. And of course, when a society and a people live based on a lie or not complete truth, they have no choice to err and make mistakes, and that society usually completely goes down. And that's one of the things that's happening on earth at this time. That is another message we have to give to humanity. They have to become truthful and seek the truth in a depth possible. Settle for nothing but the truth. Settle for nothing but the ultimate reality of God and His words and His scriptures. But that ultimate is now on earth. Now we can see clearly that God said there will be a seventh revelation, there will be seventh scriptures, there will be a time at the end time that this scripture, which is sealed with the seven seals, will be opened. And when that book is opened, of course, the last part of God's plan will start. The nations are being shaken up. The people who have been chosen are awakening. And those who resist God's will, unfortunately, will not make it in this step of the evolutionary process. They will stay with their narrow concept and understanding and create suffering for themselves and others. And the suffering eventually will awake humanity and realize that, you know, they cannot just go on. Because they are living a lie that they have accepted as the dogmas, and now they have to let that dogmas go. As far as they are hanging into their dogma, they will kill each other, they will have wars, they will have destruction. But if we reach a point we can teach them to become truthful to themselves, truthful to their scriptures, truthful to God's word, truthful to the prophecies and revelations that God said will come to humanity, we will have many truthful people based on the reality of God, and they can create communities of light and eventually bring the kingdom of God on earth. So this room, this teaching, this revelation, this reach out is not another cult, another small realization of a person who thinks because they received a small revelation or a small truth, now they are God themselves and they create an organization or a cult. It is based on the Word of God. It is a revelation that explains all religions before it. it has been prophesied to come. The revelation that each sentence in Zohar, you can write 1,000 books about that only sentence. It is a great responsibility for all of us to see this amazing revelation and the seriousness of this call. And therefore, we become an elect, we become people who will be in fire to do this mission. No human love, no human relationship, no human emotion should stand between us and this call. Because at the end of the life, in the moment of death, we're all going to be facing one thing. Have we done what are we been called to do? In that moment, no one else going to be with us but us alone. That we have to answer this question. Have we saw the vision and then the week came and the emotions came and the human love came and all the things came to us and took the vision away from us and we became cold or lukewarm? That's a call to the warriors of God, to the soldiers of God, to those that truly want to go to God. They have been meditating for lifetimes. And now God is number one in their life. And this revelation is the latest and the last revelation from God. Therefore, that becomes the point of focus. That becomes the number one. If we find 144,000 such a dedicated, one-pointed people, we indeed can shake the earth in its foundation and reach out to every corner of it and eventually make millions of people realize that their religion is a part of greater truth. They have to become truthful. They have to become seekers. They are here to become divine. They are not here for anything else. And eventually create an earth that many people with rich pure consciousness in their lifetime from here to 1,000 years. And 1,000 years, of course, the golden age surely will come to man. And we will create an earth based on the truth and correct realization of God and eternal divine path and the reality of our religion. And that is the plan. That is the revelation of God. That is the call to humanity. And this will happen as God has shown us clearly in Zohar and in its revelation that He said He will do things and He has done them, and now of course He will do this one too. So, our salvation is to focus on light and see the truth that has come to us and never take our eyes off that truth and light. Then darkness has no power over us whatsoever, because we know we will escape the darkness by focusing on the light and eventually reaching it. We will do it with the joy, of course. We have to create an environment for ourselves that the joy comes to us. No matter what we do, if we direct our actions toward God and His will under the umbrella of this revelation, little by little our environment becomes godly, becomes divine, our life becomes happier and based on greater truth. But of course, if we are still hanging to our emotion and our understanding and our resentment or hate or whatever that makes life unhappy, then the mission will not appeal to us either. And we probably blame mission why we are not happy. The truth is that you have to look at yourself to see what is in it that makes you unhappy. The Sound of Truth is asking, wearing of kibah, head cover, for men have any meaning? Scientifically, a lot of heat escapes from the head, and the brain is the part of the body uses most of the energy. These great religious people know intuitively, not scientifically, but they knew that a lot of heat are escaped from the top of the head. And also, of course, when you have beard, as a lot of Eastern people do, and you want to keep your hair short, as most of them do, doesn't look very good. So in order for them to make it look better and replace the hair, they invented turban. So headdressing or the kibiyah, I suppose kibiyah is what the Jewish people wear. Is that what it is? Kibiyah is that cap that the Jewish people put at the very center of their head. Yeah, okay. And you notice they put it in the very place that usually bald in men starts. So there is no hair to keep the head warm. Therefore, by putting that over that part of the head, they keep energy from escaping. A lot of energy is saved. So that was the reason in the beginning that has been created for man to wear. As you see, they wear that, and Muslims and Hindus wear turbans, and many cultures have something to cover their head. In the United States, they put baseball caps or other kind of hat. So even those cultures that don't wear that kibiyah, they wear some kind of a protection. Of course, some people wear caps to cover their balls, but in reality, caps is used to save the head from the external elements. It is a good idea. It is something that keeps the energy in brain. Turban has been used also as replacing the hair. You know, you don't have hair much, but when you put turban, it just makes you look like you have the hair on the top of your head. So this is better for human to understand the reason for why some religions recommended for people to do something instead of culturally become biased and say, well, we don't like those people because they put turban in their head. You know, we don't. We just let our hair bare or, you know, naked or with nothing on it. So we are different. So, but if you understand the reason those things have been created in other cultures, and some of those cultures are much longer than ours, we rebelled against a lot of old things and we threw them all out. And there we said, they're no good. But if we go back and study them and realize the reason that all these things started in the beginning, we can see those cultures had a good reason for doing what they do. And we will become more familiar with the reason of things that are done instead of opposing them right out of hand because it is not what we do. Sifat is asking, is there meditation the base or foundation for at least be close to get the first seal? But I suppose that you mean, is the meditation the foundation for at least be close to get the first seal? Well, I suppose you mean meditation is the first step in the eternal divine path. that is the first, okay, meditation. Of course, there are many ways to meditate, as we have explained before. There is something called the formal meditation that you can learn in a room called Meditate on the Universal Mantra. In that formal meditation, of course, you sit somewhere comfortably and you go through the process that is explained in that room and you meditate on the mantra Hari Om Shri Hum Om Nam Kevalam, and you connect that to your breathing and you recognize the stillness between breathing in and breathing out. In that stillness, there is all the truth in the universe. If you reach that stillness and stay with you all the time, you will be meditating all the time. No matter what happens around you, no matter in what situation you are in a state of meditation. So, the stillness between breathing in and breathing out is the most important part of every meditation. So, in the room of meditation, if you listen to the people who explain the meditation process, you have a good grip of how to meditate and awaken your spiritual forces. And that is the beginning of your journey in the eternally one path. When you reach that stillness, then you realize that you have to go to the next step. Or without even seeing a stillness before realizing it, this revelation says the next step is to create a communist of light. And communist of light, of course, is the person or a place that people meditate and realize that the stillness and overcome their ego and become a productive member of that community, and stop playing games, stop playing ego trips, stop playing everything that is human, and have created societies based on ego, but they become a part of a group or society which is based on God. Therefore, yes, it is the first step in the eternal divine path. Meditation, of course, can be driving your car. Some people like to take their car and go driving long distances, and they reach that stillness by doing that. Some people like to gardening. But of course, no matter what your meditation is, or whatever appeals to you, formal meditation is recommended to supplement your way of meditation. To answer your questions, we have a question from Marakaman. Hello, Maitreya. It is very refreshing to hear you speak of the oneness of all true religions. When we chant the Hush Mantra, what effect will it have on us? Thanks. First of all, when you chant the Hush Mantra, it has a great meaning. The goal of life is to become divine. As you notice, I pause between be and come. So the goal of the life is to become divine. There is two theory. That is, one says you are already divine. Which is correct. Your essence is divine. Your essence is the same as God. Your essence is the spirit of God. They are one. They are already divine. But of course, our subconscious mind and ego has separated us from realizing this. Therefore, the theory is no. You are not already divine. You become divine. You purify yourself, you meditate, you awaken your forces, and little by little, ego is dissolved, and subconscious mind no longer play tricks on you and make you play tricks on others, and eventually you become truthful and you are connected directly to God. When the subconscious mind is no more, what is left is I and God, or unconscious mind, and you and God become one and you experience the oneness. Therefore, the goal of the life is either be divine, which means you already have overcome your subconscious mind and you are divine, or you become divine by purifying and overcoming the subconscious mind and ego. Therefore, the very beginning, it gives you a great revelation that you are here to become divine. That is the goal of the life. If we can teach just that to humanity, if we can teach just that to our children when they grow up from their childhood, we save them from a lot of grief, a lot of mistakes, a lot of ego trips, a lot of problems that a lot of children and youth go through at this time. Because they're confused, they think they have to succeed, they have to become this and that. The only thing we don't teach them is they're supposed to become divine. They're supposed to become one with God. Therefore, that very first sentence brings great realization to us and brings great base for society to be built on. Then it says that divinity or God is everything. Okay, that means I have to become divine. Part of God, I also have to realize that I am a part of the whole universe. There is nothing out of universe, and I am a part of it, and God is everything. Therefore, there is no feeling of separation between any part of the universe and me. So I can separate them as having another religion, another culture, another race, another gender. I cannot separate anything from anything. Therefore, I have to work to bring the whole universe to pure consciousness, and also realize that I cannot have wars, I cannot have destruction, I cannot demonize any other part of the world so I can go and kill them or destroy them because they are they and we are us and we are separated. So that brings great unity, and it goes beyond cultures, boundaries, beyond even earth. So we will reach to each other and bridge that gap that has been created, you know, on earth at this time, and unification will be accelerated. Then, of course, you breathe in Hari Om Shri Hung. As you notice, it's a long mantra. So it makes you breathe very deeply, because you are breathing in Hari Om Shri Hung. You breathe with your diaphragm instead of with your shoulder, or shallow breathing. And that is the trick to great health and realization. Deep breathing. Actually, most of the people on earth are breathing very shallowly. They breathe with their shoulder and they never fill up their lung with the good air to the bottom of it. So as is explained in those rooms, then you breathe from your diaphragm, fill bottom of your lung, and then middle, and then top. When the top is filled, your shoulder will move forward a little bit. So you breathe deeply, and then you realize what happens between that breathing deeply and breathing out Om Nam Kevalam. This is the moment of a stillness, silence. That is the moment of meditation. If you can recognize and realize that a stillness and in your meditation become more and more that the stillness, you can meditate all the time. Then when you breathe out Om Nam Kevalam, there is again that the stillness between breathing out and breathing in, which is the same stillness, that the body is still, and you recognize again that the stillness, and then you breathe in, Hari Om Shri Han Om Nam. If you reach a point that you can stay with the stillness all the time, and see the pulsation of life in that stillness, then you are in that consciousness or pulsation of life or Godhood, and your meditation is perfect and constant, no matter where you are, in what situation you are, you can meditate and be one. So, these are some of the effects that the Harsh Mantra has in the people who use it. And really, you just need that mantra to realize and recognize God in a highest level. And if you meditate on that and see the vision in the mission, and as I said, if you go to our website and read the covenant with the mission and see what is the next step for becoming a part of this revelation and mission and movement. It's a grass movement for all humanity. This is the revelation. This is not come to a specific culture in a specific language. It has come in a culture different than where the Prophet was born. The Prophet was born in the East, and the revelation came in the West. And it did not come even in the language of the Prophet, but in English, which is an international language. Actually, original English was not as powerful as it is now, and the reason for it is because English was influenced in French, and French was influenced in Spanish, and Spanish was influenced in Arabic language, and Arabic and Hebrews are very powerful languages, and they are very expressive and strong, and that is why we see the English language itself is an international language. It's not really belong to one group or one culture. It's been influenced in many cultures. Now, of course, it's been influenced in Dharma, Karma, and many phrases from Hinduism and Buddhism. So little by little, it has become a universal language, and now this revelation also have come in this language. That's why it's recommended everybody learn English, and they can read this revelation in this language. So again, this is another sign of unification. That's another sign of the universal aspect of this revelation. It is not for Hindus, it's not for Buddhists, it's not for Jews or Christians, the last tribe of Israel, it's not for Arabs, it is for the whole earth. And these are the truths that everybody should recognize and realize on earth, and see how this universal revelation or meditation, even of greeting, Salam is a combination of many, many greeting on earth. It's a combination that of salute Om. Salute to Om means a pay salutation to the Om, which is divinity within you. It is given from Shalom, means peace in Hebrew. And Salam, same in Arabic. It has Om on it, which is Hinduism and Buddhists know about it. So again, even our greeting is a universal greeting, and everything is combined together. And it's also an explanation of the things in this mission. It's amazing how much have been explained and unified and clarified for humanity. And if you have the slightest spirit of God and are the seeker of the truth, are not hanging into your dogmas and religion and nationality or whatever, you will see this is indeed the last revelation and have revealed everything on earth. And Hush Mantra is a great mantra. It's very powerful and bring great truth to humanity. Son of Truth is asking, is that also good for man in the mission of Maitreya to wear a hat cover? Well, we do not really ask people to do things like that. We explain why. We explain the truth behind them. We explain the reason that many people in many different cultures have come to this conclusion or revealed to them by their prophets to do a specific thing. It is up to you to eventually come to this conclusion. Yeah, maybe that is a good idea to wear a head cover, whatever it is. As far as it is a head cover and covers, you know, your bowels and the places that you don't have hair. And what kind of hairdresses you want to wear? Do you want to wear a headdress that it just keeps your head warm, or you want to put something on your head that it also maybe represents your hair, which is, you know, most men don't have and they get older. And then, of course, it is absolutely your decision to make. We do recommend our teachers to wear turbans, and there is a dress code for the former teachers in the mission that they will have kind of a Western and Eastern clothing are put together. They will wear pants with the white shirts, or depends upon what state in the hierarchy of the teachers they are. They wear different color, but they wear shirt, pants, and maybe even tie. But at the same time, they can put a cloak over their clothes and have turban. So you can see there is a kind of a, again, it's a mix of the East and the West together. The pants and the shirt and the tie is Western, and the rope on the shoulder and the turban, of course, is from East. And they are, of course, unified in this aspect. Okay, Roaring Silence is asking, could you explain how self-knowledge, false self, is of importance in relation to the truth? Well, the false self makes us become attached to the external world. The false self brings Maya, and we call the false self ego or subconscious mind, and it makes us become attached to the relative truth, which is this external world. But we are not here to be attached to the relativity, to something which is not absolute. And therefore, by falling for the ego and suffering for many lifetimes, eventually we recognize and realize how we don't want to follow the false ego or false self. But you want to follow the truth. You want to follow the ultimate. And therefore we overcome the false self and we start meditating. And hopefully we come to this mission and see God has been sending these revelations for the last 2,000 years, and now He has shown how to overcome the false self, how to overcome the ego, how to create the communities of life, and how the kingdom of earth is based on the communities of light. And of course, in the communities of light, we teach our children the goal, their goal of, in their life is to become divine, to follow eternal divine path. And as we see in the scripture, God says no man can reach God by themselves. They will be a screw out of his mouth if they try. And therefore, the goal become not only we work in, on ourselves, we also work on the community. We also create an environment that not only is pure and conducive to our spiritual progress, but also it is an environment that other people also can come and progress with us in the path. Therefore, ego is a teacher. Ego is an awakener of our realization that this external world never going to give you happiness. Never ever material thing will bring you happiness. It might bring you comfort. And we do recommend that we have to create an environment that everybody, every man, woman, and child has to be comforted and be comfortable. Therefore, they can concentrate on meditation and making up spiritual forces instead of being worried about the physiological and safety need, and therefore they don't have time to meditate or progress. Therefore, the false self or ego is the obstacle, is the umbrella that we have over our head, which cuts the grace and unity between us and God. And if we can take that away from ourselves, then we can become one with the universe and God. Let me step in. And therefore, the very beginning of the creation, that was what made the unit consciousnesses or last part of the universe to feel separated from the original self or God. And now it's time for us to recognize and realize that we have been lost, we have been separated from our original self, God, consciousness, and it's time to march back, to turn around, to be baptized. That's what baptism means, to turn around. And we turn around and we go toward God, and that is the goal of this revelation for humanity, to recognize that God has been trying to help them to return home. It is the reason for the creation of this creation, the evolution and the progress of man. We're not here for no reason. It's not just made for a play or a game. It has a serious reason that why God created the creation, because in the state of before creation, it was harder to guide man back to Godhood or Godhead. God created this creation, so man become attached to it, and the false self or ego take him away more and more from God. The more they try to be happy in this external world, the less happy they become. Actually, the happiest person or people I have seen on this earth are the people in a village I used to go to, and they had nothing really compared with the many people in the world, and most of them haven't gone more than a couple of miles around their village. I didn't know not much about the world or have much of a position, and they were happiest people. I've never seen a joyful laugh, and some of them, even their old, didn't have even many teeth in their mouth, but they were very, very happy people. But you can see people who are millionaires and billionaires, and they have all the material things, and their faces are not happy at all. They have forgotten how to smile, how to laugh, how to be happy. So we can see, sounds like there is an inverse relationship between material gain and happiness. Of course, Christ said, you know, it's easier for a camel to go to eye of a needle than a rich man to go to God. That is very clearly said for humanity to recognize if they share with one another, if we can create an environment that everybody has their physiological and safety needs taken care of, then we will have more people, happier people, and greater connection to God. Therefore, these are all the false ego that makes human, they think they should have more, they should hoard more, they should create an environment they are taking care of, and at the end they realize they will not be taken care of because they didn't share with anybody, and at the end of their lives they lose everything they hoard and they will not reach what they record. But if we create a common supply, the children will be taken care of with the older people, they will be more knowledgeable because older people have long memory and they can teach them a lot of good things, and therefore, just a second, so we can see that there is a reverse relationship between hoarding and not being able to share with other people. And of course, that's been in the mission. This mission has been giving to the humanity. If we reach to the space, there are infinite resources and everybody will have much higher standard of living all over the earth. So all the problems are solved in this mission and the way are given, and humanity are guided to create an environment that everybody can meditate. Everybody can create a direct relationship with God. Everybody can have a higher standard of living. Everybody can start going back home. As far as we have our ego and false self, or whatever you want to call it, we will separate ourselves. We will bring wars and destruction, and the way of peace is this mission. The way of peace is God and His revelation. He has given all the tools for humanity to come together and create an environment that we won't have all these fears and destruction that is coming to humanity and is already here. And those people, you know, they are killed in those wars in a unjust way. We have created karma by doing that, if there are any. If we start a war that is not based on a correct assumptions and we bring suffering to other people, you know, we have created karma and we will pay for it. Those who have created those things. The law of karma is not a joke. It is not something we just take it lightly and say, oh, okay, this is just a philosophy or an idea for a crazy yogi somewhere in the mountain came up with it. In every scripture, in every religion, in every prophet have set a similar law for humanity that if you do not follow justice and unity and bring just societies and justice between people, you're going to pay for it. It's just a simple rule of action and reaction, and we have to recognize this very deeply and carefully. Teach our children and our society, and with this teaching, of course, more and more we will come to realize that we indeed have no choice. Okay. Rolling Silence is asking, could you also explain of what the false self is made up of and what the factors are that make it impossible to see what the false self is? Thank you. The false ego, of course, is the feeling of separation from God. That is the base of the ego. Ego has the feeling that it is alone by itself. It's not connected to anything. The stronger the ego, the more separate the feeling will be. The more we feel we are alone and helpless and not connected to God or anything or anybody. And that brings, of course, the desperation of the person, and they hang into any threat that they can find, so they would not feel that loneliness and separation that comes to them. They go to the bars, they go, you know, jump off the cliff or do anything, you know, or get to the craziest relationships that there is, and they suffer in the process as, you know, they go along. But why this happens, why this false self that we call him, or we call it ego or subconscious mind, exists, it's because of accumulation of many karmas for many lifetimes, and we have not meditated for such a long time, for many lifetimes, that we do not even feel we can't meditate or we won't meditate. And greatest battle, greatest fear that you can face is facing yourself, being truthful to yourself, not making excuses for yourself, not wanting to see your shortcomings and realizing that you do have problems of ego and separation of God and all the things that you are afraid of, you are resentful for, you are created in your subconscious mind that make you do the things you do. Why we repeat the same pattern in our lives? Why we always get to the craziest relationships there are? Why we are always getting ourselves in the situations that are not good for us and other people around us? What is it that makes us do that? That is, of course, the demand of the subconscious mind. Subconscious mind is being trained to react in different situations according to what we have learned or decided to react to in many lifetimes, and therefore now we react to those situations in the same way. There again, it is time to close your eyes, to see yourself squarely, to see yourself as you are, not to make excuses, not to always have a reason for why things don't go correctly, not to blame other people for the things go wrong in your life, but face yourself as well and say, yes, it is me, it is no one else, I am in these situations because I am doing it. I am creating these situations. I am not connected to God. I don't know myself. That's the same thing you have to profess to yourself. I do not know myself. I don't know who this person is. I just react to the situations and I always get myself in trouble or I don't feel God. Why do I feel, don't feel God? Why I feel separate? If I am a part of God, there shouldn't be any feeling of loneliness and separation and unhappiness. Then if you are all those or some of it, you have to close your eyes and meditate and recognize that stillness between breathing in and breathing out and becoming that stillness, and little by little you will overcome those creatures that we call creatures in man. Those creatures are subconscious mind. They are trained to control us. They are trained to tell us what to do, where to go, how to react in any situation, and we do it and they have been in control in our lives, and now we close our eyes, we connect ourselves with their possession of life and the truth and the purity, and suddenly we are telling them, no, we're not going to let you control our life anymore. I want to go to God, I want to be connected, I don't want to feel, you know, lonely, I don't want to feel, you know, disconnected. I don't want to have a craving of some desire that make me do what I've been doing all this life and many lives before it. When that decision is made, it's the time to close your eyes. Meditate, awaken or switch on forces. Realize, yes, you are a part of God, and create an environment also that the people who are around you are a part of God. And the more you progress in this matter, the more you create an environment that will be godly. Of course, as the light, you know, attracts many flies, you might also attract, you know, that people that are not completely godly. But then you it becomes your responsibility and also guide them to close their eyes, to see the truth. You might struggle in the process. You know, they might not see it. They might even blame you for their problems. But really, you have to stay with the light, with that stillness, with this unity between you and God. And eventually, they also will be guided in a greater degree with you. So, the ego, the subconscious mind, the false self, is the feeling of separation of God. Actually, that is also the definition of Maya. Maya is the illusion of being separated from God. That's why we fall to the external world. If we are happy with God and by being with Him and oneness, why should we fall in Maya? You know? And by recognizing and realizing this truth, you know, more and more humans would create an environment that their even the recreation become godly, their movies become godly, their TVs become godly. They will have great, you know, programs about great prophets and God and creation and things like that, and little by little we even can clean the environment that these days are telling us to do things are all ungodly and untruth. And they are teaching us, you have to buy this, you have to buy that, you have to go to this show, you have to see this one. This is my opinion, that's how Christ died, that's how Muhammad, you know, created Islam and make them sensationalize in the startup of the truth. So, the whole idea behind this mission is to bring humanity to the reality of life. Why we are here, where we are going, what is the goal of our life, and why we are disconnected, and how we can reconnect ourselves to God. And the false self and ego is the reason for our being disconnected. It's been created for many lifetimes. It's our subconscious mind, and it has to be eliminated. There are some organizations which call themselves religion, or at least spiritual, and they teach you how you reprogram your subconscious mind so you will be successful. But we don't teach that. We don't teach you how to reprogram your subconscious mind. We teach you how to eliminate it. So your connection becomes you directly to God. Because as far as you have subconscious mind, no matter what it is, even if you program it to be successful, still you have a subconscious mind, and still you are not connected to God, and you don't know His will, and therefore you cannot follow it according to the will of God. Therefore, we do not reprogram your subconscious mind, but we eliminate it. So you and God directly are connected to each other. Therefore, you will the will of God instead of the will that I want to be successful in this external world, which is a delusion by itself. What is the success? A successful person is who he reaches pure consciousness. That is a success. And that success comes by eliminating the subconscious mind. So we can see even those who are following some organizations and believe they have truth, because many of them out there, you know, they don't. They have just, again, a part of the truth. That is true. Your subconscious mind can be programmed. Your subconscious, that's what the, most of the psychiatrists do. You know, they sit you on a chair and they let you go through your, you know, past life, this lifetime to your childhood. Of course, they don't know about the past lifetime. That's why they cannot cure you completely. And even hypnotizing you and telling you to think differently, still, they don't eliminate your subconscious mind. They don't connect you to God. They connect you again to your a different subconscious mind. Still, it is a program of subconscious mind. It is not the will of God. They tell you how to be a better person or not to do that or this, but the goal is to be connected to God directly. And that means no subconscious mind, absolute elimination of subconscious mind. Therefore, hypnosis, regression to past lifetimes, you know, reprogramming of the subconscious mind, all of them, again, man-made, and they are just a bandit on the curing humanity going back to God. Again, in this aspect, mission of my Torah absolutely is different. It teaches you to go back to God instead of reprogram you to stay where you are, but have a better external life. That's not the goal of life. The goal of life is not to have a better external life. The goal of life is to have your physiological and safety being taken care of in the communes of light, and then you can close your eyes, meditate, and progress to eliminate the false self, ego, whatever you want to call it, so you will be connected to God directly. The goal of the light is to have a direct relationship with God. Not have a religion, not have dogmas, not listen to the preachers, not even listen to me if I don't make sense. But listen to God. Listen to the scripture. Listen to the truth. Realize and recognize why did you came to this life for? You should have come here for a purpose, for a reason. You promised to do something in this lifetime. Because we believe those people who come to this mission, they have been meditating for many lifetimes. They are elects. They are the people God says, my chosen people. It's the end time. It is not Christianity or Muslim or Hinduism or Buddhist or Judaism that is a part of the greater truth. It's the whole truth. And when the whole truth comes, God chooses the elect, the paravipras. Therefore, you been close to God and you have come to this lifetime for a reason, for a purpose. Then that is what you have to recognize. Why I came to this lifetime? If I am such a high soul, why God sent me back to earth? I promised God something. I promised to do something for God in this lifetime, and now I have to do it. My promise was to bring this revelation to humanity, open the seven seals, bring the attention of humanity that they are all a part of a greater truth, destroy their dogmas, and purify the religion of God to its essence for them. And still I'm meditating how more purification I can bring to to humanity and purify this civilization in a greater degree, and I work with the people in this end, and I will be doing for the rest of my life, and probably next lifetime, and then one after, until we have the kingdom of God on earth. Now, your question is, why did I come? Where do I fit in this revelation? Where is my part? What talents God has given me? How I can help this revelation, this fantastic revelation, to be spread and to be provided for humanity to see it clearly and come and join and help and on and on. Where is my part in this realization? That means meditation. That means knowing thyself. That means realizing that you have been meditating for many lifetimes. Now you gave God a promise. What was it that I gave to God? Is it that I come here and translate the website to different languages? Is it here that I can teach, I can go to other organizations and reach their members and make them recognize and realize that a greater revelation has come to humanity than what they have? Is my calling to become a teacher of the mission and dedicate my life 100% in doing that? Is it that I join and create a center or a contact point wherever I am so I can reach to my people? Is it to send, you know, and invite people of all nations and the leaders to this mission and make them become aware that God has sent a greater revelation than what they have, so they might also be warned and called? And then you call or explain the mission and this revelation to anyone, you are done with them. Yeah. You are a messenger. The messenger is just to send a message to humanity and to people these messages for. And you get the message, and you go to the website and you see the greatest sign and you read the explanation of the greatest sign and our teaching in the first page, or the page you go to, we are done. We give you the message. We are done with the message and the revelation, and it's now yours. Now, what are you going to do with it? If this revelation makes sense to you, if it is a vision that you see is based on God's word, and God said it will come, therefore you have seen the vision. God has told you or revealed to you what God revealed to me in the temple of Baha'is in Chicago. I saw the vision, and that changed my life. That was it. I had to reach this and give it to humanity in any way I could. So now it is your turn to see the vision and say, where do I fall in this vision? Where can I help with this revelation and reach to humanity? As you will reach more people, of course more people see the vision and more people will join, and eventually after humanity goes through the wars and destruction and tribulation that is coming to them, eventually they realize they don't have it. Their understanding of God and His ways and revelation and their religion is not perfect until the seventh angel comes and the book sealed with the seventh seal is open. Now it is perfect. Our revelation is perfect in every sense. In the psychological point of the view, it's in the scientific point of the view. Even they call this the string theory, the final realization that it all comes from the one unified field is called the end theory. Is it a coincidence that it's called end theory? Mission of my failure? End, a lot of ends. So we can see even science is explained in the revelation that we have brought to humanity. And now this vision is yours. And you should become solid like rock, that nothing in this universe can shake your understanding and belief and the truth that have come to you. And you can shake other people in their understanding. So we have to reach to the people who still believe that they have the truth, and all the sun is telling them they don't. This question is, what does your teaching have to do with Baha'i? Baha'i teaching have come in 1800, and if you read our teachings in Revelation, the saints who were died at the time of Bob, who will receive the white clothing, are asking God, when the last revelation will come, when the judgment will come. God said, you have to wait for a short time. Of course, Bob brought the revelation of the universalism, and he chose the Sopa Azal as his followers, or who will succeed him. He was a mild man. He did not really push the Baha'i teachings in a great degree. Therefore, God chose Baha'u'llah to believe that he is the one who will manifest. But Bob's dispensation, according to Baha'i, was only around, 9 years or 15 years? No dispensation is going to be that short anywhere in the universe. And if you read the Baha'i history and all that, you see Baha'u'llah was necessary to bring the teaching of Bab to the West. So there were the twin prophets that had been prophesied to come in the Bible. Bab and Baha'u'llah. But the teaching will come shortly after. Shortly after, for 200 years, in this room, Libby, you have to wait until I finish answering one question, then you can go to the next one. So, you want a short answer to your first question is that Baha'i teaching is, together with Bab, brought the universal point of the view. Okay? Now, you say Baha'i said teaching has to do with Baha'i faith. Baha'u'llah says he is the promised one of all ages, the fulfillment of all the holy books. This Bab announced the promised one, Baha'u'llah. Well, not quite correct, no. Actually, Bab sent his belonging to Sobe Azam. Some Baha'i now say he sent it to Baha'u'llah. He did not. If you read the book with Mr. Miller, The History of Baha'is, you will clearly see that many things change and no dispensation is 9 years or 15 years. And Bob himself, he said he who will manifest come much later than 9 or 15 years. So if you really are a seeker of truth, and now even Baha'i faith is split to 7 branches, you know, and you do not have the guardian, which Abdul Baha said, Baha'i teaching without guardian is no longer valid. So God has made it very clear that Baha'i teaching is just a part of a greater truth. Baha'u'llah wrote a lot of things, and he told his clerk or person or secretary to throw them away. And the secretary didn't want to do it, and Baha'i and protested, no, we shouldn't do it. And all the people, human, are not ready. How can he bring the last revelation of God if he throw a lot of things into the river? Just be discerning. Just read our teaching. See the revelation. See the word of God. Baha'u'llah never claimed he is the seventh angel. Even Abdul Baha himself talks about the seventh angel will come. When he comes, that is when the kingdom will come. Okay, so if we wanted, Baha'i never, you know, claim he is the, you know, lion of the tribe of Judah. Or at least people found he is the lion of the tribe of Judah. Bab said his beloved will come from Tehran. Baha'u'llah wasn't even born in Tehran. So all these things are the evidence you have to look at very carefully. We love Baha'u'llah, we love Bab, we love their teachings. They were wonderful revelation, wonderful truth. Just like as we love Prophet Muhammad, we love Baba, we love, you know, Christ. We love all the prophets in the Old Testament and the ones before them. We love Hinduism, we love, you know, Buddhism and all their revealers. But God is clearly making it very clear here that Baha'u'llah was just a part of Bab's mission, and he did a good job. He brought the revelation of God to the West. Western people wouldn't even know such a revelation existed if it was left to Sufi Azhar. But Baha'u'llah rigorously brought it to the West, and that should be appreciated. And that, but he was not he who will be manifested, because he who will be manifested, his revelation, as Bob said, every sentence of the revelation of he who will manifest, you can write 1,000 books and read though, you will. You can write 1,000 books for each sentence in the holiest of the holies, because they are so packed with the truth. So we can say, we are not against Baha'is, we are not against anybody. You know, we love Baha'i teaching, we love Bab's teaching. But that is the truth of God. That is what God made it very clear, that although he was necessary to be chosen to do a mission, he was not the one that Bab was prophesying to come. And a short while later means 200 years for God, not 9 or 15 years. And also one of our brothers in the mission, he has found that Baha'u'llah might not even have ever written anywhere that he is the one Bab was talking about. He proclaimed in the garden in Iraq that he is the one, and I don't blame him. He should have been inspired so he did what he did, you know, but he never wrote it down. We don't know for sure he did not, but apparently we couldn't find a place that in any writing of him he wrote it down that yes, I am the one. But that is of course one point, but many evidence God has given that Bab and Baha were the twin prophets, and they brought great revelation to God. 19 years, doesn't matter, 9, 19 or 15, it's still a dispensation doesn't last that short. The dispensation, but as I said, these are all separate points of pointing to Baha'i or Baha'i brothers that look, God said differently. Okay, even Bob said himself it's going to get much, much longer after Rahim he will come. Actually, if you go to the prophecies in our website, the year 2000 and was the mark for the Mustaq to come, and in that prophecy it clearly says it should come before the year 2000, and redid it became in 1977 or 1982. So again, all the evidence is there for Baha'i people, for any religion, for Muslims, for Hindus, for Buddhists, all the evidence are clearly given to them to find the truth and see the last revelation of God and see this is the perfect revelation and no other revealer ever brought such a perfect revelation to humanity. Okay, we are at the end of our time. I hope that you have found some truth that will appeal to you and will awaken you to become greater degree of commitment to the vision of God and realizing indeed this is the revelation of God have come to all humanity. It have come from the east to the west and is revealed to the whole man for the whole humanity in this time. Take it in your heart, take it to your spirit and recognize and realize the truth of it, follow it and become a great member of this fantastic revelation and movement. Shalom everybody, God be with you. See you everybody next week. Shalom.